Lecture 21, What the Declaration of Independence Says.
In our last lecture, we examined the events that led up to the American Revolution and to the Declaration of Independence. We saw that George III attempted to establish in his North American colonies an efficient, centralized, modern form of government in place of what he saw as inefficient, archaic, too decentralized colonial legislatures. And the attempt by Parliament to establish clearly their legal right to legislate for Englishmen everywhere. This was a crisis of empire brought on by the great expansion of the British Empire after the French and Indian War in 1763. The Americans saw in this attempt not acts which were to give them fair taxation, but rather as a series of individual incidents testing their willingness to defend their liberty. These were their rights as Englishmen, which they saw as under attack. They viewed George III as a would-be tyrant, just like Julius Caesar or Charles, in English history, attempting to create an absolute monarchy, and Parliament simply as his tool. Today, we want to look at the actual Declaration of Independence. Now, the American statesmen who responded to these incidents, who led and increasingly unified and created a consensus among their fellow citizens, were just that, statesmen. They were not politicians. In an earlier lecture on Pericles, we defined a statesman. It is a definition we will use again and again. A statesman must have a bedrock of principles, a moral compass, a vision, and the ability to build a consensus to support that vision. And the men who led the American Revolution had just that bedrock of principles in the concept of liberty. They had a strong moral compass that led them to interpret what we might see as acts of expediency in terms of absolute right and wrong. And they had a vision of their rights as Englishmen translated into a broader, more universal concept of the natural rights of all mankind. And they could build a consensus. The Declaration of Independence is that great document to build a consensus, to justify revolution to the colonists and to the entire world. Now, as late as the fall of 1775, there were still many Americans who were unconvinced that independence had to be declared. True, the king had rejected the olive branch petition sent to him by the Continental Congress. True that the colonies were actually at war with the British king. Nonetheless, must independence be declared? And certainly one American who strongly believed that independence had to be declared was George Washington, for he had the task of waging this war. Now, in the first place, until the Americans declared their independence, they were, in the eyes of British law, in the eyes of the world as a whole, traitors and rebels. This made it very difficult for them to attract foreign allies. The King of France might recognize an independent nation, but to give support to armed rebels who were essentially traitors to their own king, that was a different matter. And secondly, it made it difficult to create a navy. The absolute domination of the sea by Britain was a major factor in the war. George Washington wanted to issue warrants that would allow American private ships to carry out act of war. But unless they were acting under an independent flag of an independent nation, they were really pirates. That, too, made the situation difficult. And third was the practicality. I mean, we are at war. Let that be defined.